For women being subjected to domestic violence, getting help doesn't just mean calling the police. Oftentimes, they can gain protection from civil court proceedings, but many can't afford a lawyer. An organization called Her Justice works to fill that gap, supplying lawyers to domestic violence victims who are often poor. Amy Barish is the executive director of Her Justice. She also headed the New York State Office for the Prevention of Domestic Violence from 2007 to 2012.
Her Justice is a not-for-profit in New York City. We've been around for a little over 22 years, and our aim is really to ensure that low-income women in crisis get legal representation. As you probably know, there's a real gap in access to justice in the country, but in New York State as well. And we bridge that gap by providing low-income women with pro bono attorneys. So our attorneys handle a lot of their cases in family, divorce, and immigration court, but about 80% of the representation is actually done by volunteers from the law firms in New York City. You know, we have more lawyers per capita in New York City than almost anywhere else in the world, and yet 80% of the litigants in family court don't have a lawyer. So we try to bridge that gap and put the power of the private attorneys behind our low-income clients.
You have a background in government work. Was that where you started to recognize the extent of this problem?
I do have a background in government work. I've actually had a background in a couple different areas, all of which led me to Her Justice. So I was pretty recently the executive director of the New York State Office for the Prevention of Domestic Violence here in Albany. And we focused on making sure that victims of domestic violence around the state got the response that they needed. Prior to that, I was an attorney in private practice. I was an attorney in public interest practice. I've worked for New York City government. So I've really been on all sides of this issue. I have myself represented victims of domestic violence in family court and in Supreme Court. And I took that experience when I came to the state to try to understand how could systems be more responsive to victims. Now I'm back down in the city, kind of putting all of that experience together, bringing the private sector in to fill a gap with my knowledge of how policy works, with my knowledge of how the victims, what the victims need when they go to court, and thinking in terms of systems, how can we find a systemic solution to making sure that people get the representation that they need?
Is there ever reticence on the part of someone who might benefit from having a lawyer in the courtroom with them to have representation, to reach out to your organization? I mean, how do you get paired up with these pro bono attorneys and the people who might benefit from their presence?
Yeah, what I think happens is less reticence and more that there are a lot of people who don't even know the law can help them. So the way we get lawyers is in New York City, there's something called a Family Justice Center. And we have a couple of these around the state. There's one in Buffalo. There's one in Westchester. We have one in every county, every borough in New York City. These are sort of one-stop shops for domestic violence victims. So if you have a criminal case pending, you'll know about the center, but you can also go there without a criminal case, maybe to get advocacy services, to meet with a police officer, to meet with a therapist. Most of our referrals come either from those centers or from the courthouses themselves. Our number is given to the family court, so if somebody comes in and needs representation, they can call us. But I think a big challenge is that many people don't really realize the civil court is available to them, especially victims of domestic violence. When most of us think domestic violence, we think call the police. And that may be a perfectly good solution, but it's not the only solution. People can go to family court and get orders of protection in the same way that they might in criminal court, but they can also get things like decisions about child support, custody, and visitation that the criminal court can't give them. So one of the things we're trying to do more of is community outreach and education to let people know that there is this family court that can serve as a resource to people, especially if they're not interested in calling the police. Probably only about half of domestic violence is reported to the police, maybe less than that. So we want to make sure that everybody who's in danger knows there is a legal remedy available to them that doesn't necessarily require calling the police.
Why is domestic violence such a stubborn problem to get a handle on? I mean, we're talking victim services here, so after these acts have already been committed. But what about stamping out the problem in the home before it gets to a courtroom?
Absolutely. Well, I don't know how long your show is, so to give you really the answer of, you know, why is it a stubborn problem, might take longer than we have. But you raise a really good point. But I think it's actually another reason why the civil court is important. You can go to civil court before there's been an arrest. So, and the standard of proof, to sound lawyerly for a second, the standard of proof in family court is lower. So let's say, for example, you have a power and control dynamic in a household that's starting to escalate, where there's name calling, maybe there's been some shoving, sort of lower level, what we would consider to be lower level domestic violence in the home. The criminal law is not going to be able to do a lot with that. But you could go to family court and get an order of protection. And for many people, that actually reduces the violence. And there have been studies that have also shown that for victims of domestic violence, when they go to civil court like that, bring their own case and get an order of protection, it makes it more likely that they'll take other safety-seeking measures. Because victims of domestic violence are often, they're really controlled by their partners. Their access to outside information and affirmation is very limited. So their partners may be saying to them, no one's going to believe you. You don't deserve anything better than this. This is all your life is ever going to look like. To go to court in front of a judge and have a judge say to the victim, you're right, he's wrong, he has to stop his behavior, it's very empowering for someone. So it can serve a kind of preventive function, as you're saying, because it intervenes a bit earlier in the process and may give her the power, both because of the order of protection, but just the emotional and psychological power to go forward and do other things she may need to do to get safe.
Speaking of, if someone's listening to this segment and knows someone in this situation or is in this situation herself, what should she do?
It's a great question, and it's very hard to know what to do. I would say the number one rule is not to judge and to listen, because there isn't one right answer. As I mentioned, a lot of victims don't call the police. And while the police have been trained to respond and there's a terrific criminal justice response available, it's not the right response for everybody. And I think it's important people know that there are options. So if you have a friend who's in trouble, or if you know one of your listeners is in trouble, there are hotlines everywhere across the state to just, you can call anonymously and get information. The most important thing is people know what their options are. So you can call anonymously to find out where to get advocacy in your community, where the courts are. And if you're talking to a friend, just listen, support them, and ask them what they're trying to achieve. And probably encourage them to call a hotline, because if you're not a domestic violence expert, you're not an expert, you're a friend. And so what you can do is be supportive and support the choices that your friend is making. And really, unless you're sitting, you know, walking in their shoes, you don't know what they're experiencing. So it's very hard. It's, you know, not helpful to judge, but just to be a listening ear and let them know there's support and resources out there for them.
We know traditionally public defender's offices have been underfunded by and large. And I know this year your organization has reached out for state support for the first time. How do you fund an operation like this? And, you know, are you in a struggle to get these lawyers to the people who need them?
Absolutely. Well, I'm the head of a not-for-profit, so of course we're always struggling for more resources.
Right. Well, you're talking on public radio.
Exactly. One of the reasons our solution, I think, is really interesting is that we're actually very cost-effective. We leverage this private sector volunteerism. Lawyers are supposed to be doing pro bono efforts, and we connect them with the people who need lawyers. So we have a 17-person legal staff, and we leverage, you know, the work from 70 law firms in the city, which means we can represent over 4,500 people a year. So it's a very efficient model that works well in cities where there are so many lawyers, like New York City. New York State has been a real leader in providing access to justice, and there has been an increase in the funding to legal services, which is terrific. We will need more funding for legal services. What we try to do is be a complement to legal services, because if 80% of the people in family court don't have lawyers, that's an enormous cost to try to get a lawyer to all of those people. If we can match what legal services is doing with volunteer attorneys, we can get much closer to making sure that everybody is getting the legal information and representation they need. So we are able to find the private attorneys. What we need is more resources to support our office, the lawyers and the paralegals who provide the support and do the matching, because it is such an efficient model. You know, with one attorney, we're actually leveraging several hundred other attorneys and therefore representing over 1,000 clients.